This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. President is Commissioner Van Beek, absent is Commissioner Brooks. We have a 10:30 agenda item for DSD General Business. So take it away, Jay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. So today, as I said previously, we brought title resources. So to help you get a little better idea of what a title report will provide to us through the process of evaluating an existing property as to original parcel and the potential for admin splits, what they've already done, haven't done, or what have you. I know that we've all heard a little varying information of what a title report would do and how that would impact staff's work. Mm-hmm. And so we brought Phil Archer from Fidelity National. And he's had several discussions with us to explain exactly what a title report provides to us, what it says, what we'll find, what we won't find, and the process, costs, basically. And so I brought him so he could really explain the ins and outs of title reports to you.
Okay.
What we'd like to go do going forward.
All right. Perfect. Appreciate it.
Appreciate
it. Time for questions.
So thank you very much, I guess, for having me here. This is Taylor Tibbetts. He's actually the operations manager, county manager, and vice president of operations here in Idaho.
Okay.
And so, Chairman Holt, I guess it's kind of a difficult thing for me to describe exactly what a title commitment does and doesn't do, right?
Right.
So I'll speak to it as how it came about to me. What was addressed to me was, can a title report provide you an interpretation of law under the definition of what an original parcel is? And what I provided to Jay and his team was, this is what it can provide. So anytime anybody orders a title report from us, we do the background research back to the last deed of record or to the last time we insured. And then we issue a provisional policy or a commitment of policy that shows all of the exceptions that would pertain to that parcel, including the legal description and current vested owner. What does not occur is we don't go back to a certain date. We go back to that date of the last original deed. So if that deed was not prior to your date of 1979, I believe that's the date it was.
It is.
Then what you'd have to do is you reach back out and say, okay, can we get an original deed prior to 1979, which is just an additional service that we can provide. It is something that we can do. And then you could simply compare the legal description from the original parcel in 1979 or the deed that was the last associated there to the new deed that is the current deed of record, and can determine whether or not they are the same. And if they were, then really it meets your standard and it's done. If it doesn't, then there's far more research involved than that, that we could assist providing the documentation to, but that again, we can't interpret or specify what has changed. You know, through our experience, we can read a legal description and determine what is different, but we can't tell you why it is. I mean, right. We can tell you what occurred that made it different, but we can't tell you why.
Right.
We can't tell you whether it was a split or whether it was an adjustment or whether it was a boundary line, but we just can't. We can just tell you this is what occurred. So as a title company, any title company in the Valley can provide a list of all of the deeds of record that would show the history of that parcel. But beyond that, the exceptions don't provide you any validity or anything that I can see of from my perspective that you could stand alone to say this meets your description under statute, unless the statute was amended for some purpose.
Okay. All right.
Did I miss anything, Taylor?
No.
Yeah. So what that does, as you're aware currently, as we've discussed in excessive depth, is that a title report provides the research that then we utilize to evaluate against our code. Without a title report, and we've done it without a title report forever, in that basically a title report and their research is based on, we have access to all the same information, it's public information.
Right.
But we have to play detective because it's not all available in one spot. And a title report, I don't know how they do that, but they are able to come up with information in pretty short order, which is very appreciated. You know, and what we're trying to do is if we move to have an applicant or property owner submit an application for a request that they're gonna provide this information on, you know, title report or whatever the property information is, that's great. But if we do something without a title report per se, and they do it the hard way, that's a burden on our assessor and our recorder's office, because they're gonna have to go and sit with them, and it may involve searching microfiche records, not all available strictly online at this point. Lot books, you name it. There's a lot of sources. So this is an expedient way, a more cost-effective way to go through and get a title report that will help us do our job, take that part off of it, and then it's a simple process. Yay, nay, how many are you still eligible for?
Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question. The estimate on the number of hours that was required to do that, I think, was 70. So where does that, what does that look like if the title company comes in? I know that there was some concern that there would still be information and research that was required on part of the county. So what does that difference look like?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, the thing is, I threw out that number several months ago. It was a particularly complicated case. I'm not saying we spend 70 hours on every one of them.
Okay.
That was an extensive case. That was huge. And you're kind of fixated on it now, and I'm not saying that we spend 70 hours on every one of them. That's
okay.
But a title report will come with the application, and then we're not doing the research. We're relying on others, the private sector to provide that information to us, to a property owner who will then turn it over to us.
Chairman, follow-up?
Yes.
So if you need additional information, what I heard was that they would be able to do that research, and you would punt that back there to them to do that, not?
Correct.
Okay. So there is a savings.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, just to harken back to our presentation from last week, as we're talking about basically breaking this process out, we'll have two different types of applications. Zoning inquiry, which I'll set aside and we'll kind of leave that part, because that's not what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the entitlement research component. The intent here is to remove the research from the staff's due diligence and put that back on the applicant submitting the entitlement research application. So as part of that, Phil or Taylor may jump in here at any time and correct me if I'm mistaken, but part of that we'd be requesting is a lot book report be submitted with that parcel inquiry application, entitlement research application rather, to provide the last deed of record and include the last deed prior to 1979. So what we would need there is the vested owner, the current legal description, the legal description prior to our date of record, so September 6, 1979. And if those two things are different, we'll need that chain of deeds between those two dates to identify those discrepancies. So that lot book with that information, provide that to the title company, would come to our staff that we could then provide that analysis. We'd have the tools and that research done and provided to us so we could then interpret code. As mentioned last week, if we need to, we would engage the county surveyor to provide any of that mapping service or if there's additional interpretation needed. But basically, the intent there is that would remove the staff portion of that time there on the research end. We'd still have the staff time on that interpretation, but it's anticipated that would reduce significantly that staff time involvement there, where a lot of it seems to be on the research component.
Yeah. Chairman, can I ask another question? So it eliminates the need, like, I'm at a cross point where I don't understand the path forward. Does the county need to have anything in place that records and attempts to correct for future development services and the community if they come in? Is there a need for that, or it eliminates that? That's now a moot point because there's every person that comes in and wants a land decision is going to go to a title company, and they're the holder of that information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek. So part of what we're providing here as a service would be optional under what we're recommending. It's not required, but if you'll recall the chart and our process that we provided to the commission either last week or the week prior, we're still in that left-hand side column where members of the public are coming in to figure out what their best path forward is. Are they eligible just to submit a building permit? Are they, do they want to look at doing an admin division, or are they in a situation where they need to rezone and subdivide their property? So we're, this is that service component on what's the best path forward as far as what I want to do with our, my property. They would come to us providing that research, and then we'd provide that service of interpreting the ordinance, and here's the best path forward so we can better assist you there. Again, it would be optional, so we can also require this as on our applications too, in tandem. So if somebody opts not to, we'd still need to evaluate it, and that would be part of the review. Now, the key here is that the reason we're recommending this still be a service that we provide is if we remove it, you may increase the number of hearing cases, admin cases, and applications that somebody may just not be eligible for. And we can save a lot of that staff time on the front end here in the left-hand side of the column on that parcel chart. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
I think so. Yeah, thank you. The short answer is it depends.
That is probably a short answer.
In the planning profession, there's a lot of depends.
There is. There's a lot of depends.
And every property is different. Every application is different in complexity, request, standing, or what have you. We're trying to find the most efficient way to provide a service to the community and a property owner and get them where they need to be as best we can or as best they can. A lot of times you have folks come in with an idea and this is what I want to do with my property. Initially, and I hate for customer service shouldn't be no. That should not be the answer at the front desk or the first answer that we give them. And it may be as simple as, okay, we can't get you there through our code exactly how you think. However, I think that you could go down this road. We can get you most of the way to what you want to do. It's a little different form, and you're going to have to step through these other steps and these processes, but you can still get mostly where it's a compromise. But it is, more times than not, in my experience, a property owner will walk away from our office and be happy with the outcome because he had an idea, and we've given him a path forward to make that happen. That's what customer service is all about. So
Carl, I want to go back to what I thought I heard. You were saying that it wouldn't be a prerequisite on each application that there would be a title search provided, or could you revisit that for my clarification?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So currently, under our current process, on our applications, under our applications currently, we require that an applicant submit a parcel inquiry as they submit those applications. That's an internal policy that we currently have in place. The intent here as well is to still provide some sort of entitlement component. I forget the name of the application as it's been updated, but basically still provide the application. Staff's not providing that research time, but we'll provide that code analysis to identify the correct path forward. Because a lot of what we do is, are you eligible for divisions, or you need to rezone and subdivide, or here's the process for those things. In tandem, we would remove that requirement to submit this in addition to or prior to submitting your application and still provide that service if somebody so chooses. Now, they may, and under our current process, they could submit a parcel inquiry and apply whether they agree with the parcel inquiry or not. Now, under what we're proposing is we would still provide the service if somebody opts in and wants to utilize the service of finding out what the best path forward for them is. Again, they'll provide the research component. But we'd still need that information on for our applications as we're evaluating something for an admin division. So we would still need to require that on our applications, that we have this information on our application form as part of one of our checklist items. So that's still something we would have to do. What it does, though, is allows us to potentially save some of our time and the number of those applications that we're having, whether it's admin or rezone, that potentially saves additional, well, we have to deny your application because you're not eligible for what you're submitting.
Right.
So we're trying to still provide that service and also reduce the number of applications we're getting that may be going down the wrong path for something that they're not entitled for.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Chair?
I think so.
So, Mr. Chair, I believe that the point is they can still, even if they provide the information for us in entitlement review research, and we determine they're not eligible, they can still submit an application, and a lot of times they do. They're gonna submit an application so that they can appeal that denial to the Board of County Commissioners. We're not stopping them whether they provide that or not. It depends what they, in the end, decide that they wanna do. Some just wanna try.
I see.
So it might be helpful for Phil to provide a conceptual, a projected, like, cost. What would a title report that we would require, what would we be asking our property owners to provide, what the cost of that service would be? I'm not gonna put you.
It's okay, no, it's always a good spot.
Right.
Chairman Holton, Commissioner Van Beek, it really is based on the end policy that is that the customer is requiring. In a lot book report, usually your cost is about $150. There would be some additional deed research depending on what was required for that. You asked a question earlier, Chairman, about why it is we can provide data that is public as quickly as we can. And the reason why is we've digitized the records of the counties it is that we partner with, and all title companies have. So any of the seven companies that are in the valley can provide the same service that we can. We're not speaking as a product that is unique only to us, but it is something that anybody can order at any point in time, and we can provide them the details that they need for their application process. And we do have other things like this that we provide to prospective developers and builders to do research on the property before they go in to do any of the entitlement piece to develop land. We do it in Ada County, we do it in Canyon County, we do it throughout the state. So it's not a difficult process for us to do. It is something that anybody can do and anybody can request fairly quickly.
Chairman,
yes.
And is, like, one title company doesn't handle all that business. So is there a repository where people can go and look? Like, if somebody comes to you with a deal and it's different than what had happened with that property, maybe it's been sold. How do you share information, I guess, or maybe you don't?
$150 at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done the work. It's all public information. You could go up and look through the books, or you could look through the microfiche, but they've done that. They've digitized it. That's why they're so darn fast. And so, to me, I'm a capitalist. I don't want to be spending my retired little old lady's money on my staff looking through the logbooks when they can roller skate down to the title company, has it all digitized, and it's $150 entry fee to get it on the same day.
Oh, and
where it just stacks up my employee's time on something that should be encumbered by the applicant, not by the county's taxpayers.
And I understand what you're saying, but it's a great idea, and I appreciate the fact that it's been digitized. That's the question I asked in meetings ago. Why did the county not digitize that? Why didn't they take advantage of all the research that had been done? Because if it's a matter of public record, as you've indicated, which I believe it is, then why can't we access that repository of information? It's costing us a lot more. That's my, like, there's a piece missing for me.
There is, and if it's okay, Chairman and Commissioner, I'd like to answer that question. We spent our company's dollars to digitize the plans of all of the counties that we provide because the method of their delivery of that information to us was not that way. So we actually have the microfiche from all of the records back to Patton when Idaho became a state, right? Just like Canyon County does, just like Ada County does. From this point forward, every county is digitizing their records, usually through our e-recording database, which is Simplifile. So we're actually doing that as a service now for all the counties that we provide that with. And then that information is shared by plant agreements that we have with different title companies. So, for example, there is one company that would digitize that plant for the group, then we share access to that information. And these are different companies that do so.
Okay.
So we are accessing mostly the same records, to your point. Now, not all title companies use that shared plant agreement. There are separate that maintain their own, but it's still the exact same information that you have. The ease at which we've created a method for us to extract that data is the part that makes us unique in individualistic nature between companies, right? It's why we do it. The other piece, Commissioner, that I want to make sure you understand is that we have an underwriting component. So the insurance side of what it is we do is different than the research side. There's actually an insurance component that we provide when we issue policies or products like this to the consumers. That insurance policy is issued by an underwriter, and not all title companies in the state of Idaho are underwriters. They have access to them, and they have agency agreements to do so. There are only some that are self-underwritten. We happen to be one of the companies that self-underwrites. So we are the title company that issues the commitment or the information. We are the escrow company that does the closing component of it, and we are also the underwriter. Not all title companies in our market are the same in that capacity. But the information, to answer your question, Chairman, or Commissioner, is exactly that. It is public information that we have digitized that will continue to be digitized moving forward.
Yeah, and it's that plant shared agreement that we don't have access to. It's what I would, is that right?
You would not have, I'm sorry.
Right.
You would not have access to the plant that we've all digitized because right. Canyon County would rely upon their own records as their point of reference, not ours. If there was a mistake in our digitization, back to us and say, well, you made a mistake. So they're going to rely upon their own information to make sure it's accurate.
Okay. So now I have a clear picture of it. If we had been building this database like the title companies have, that would be a different story. But it almost doesn't make sense where you have this agreement and you've built the database. It makes sense then to hand that over.
Yes, Commissioner, the reason why there's not multiple title companies in the Valley is anybody can build a plant, for example, if you have access to the information. To do that in most counties, you're in the millions of dollars to digitize that information. We'd have to come, you just imagine I walk into the recorder's office and I want a copy of a deed and it's $1 a page or $1.50 a page, whatever it is now. Imagine if I had to do that with every record that went back to patent, not to mention the amount of time that you would charge me to do so.
Yeah.
So it's easier to do these joint plan agreements and for us to maintain this information moving forward as almost a courtesy so that you'll continue to utilize the e-recording process is how we kind of got the counties on board with that.
Yeah. And I think that's a great marketing tool for our development services because when they ask, why do we have to go outside? We're doing a lot of things that are different than what we've done historically. It might seem unorthodox to some people, but when you hear that information on the record and you go, oh, I want to get, because time is of the essence for a homeowner or a developer, to get the fastest turnaround with the most accurate and insured information, I think that's the message that we want to send. And if I haven't said that correctly, just feel free to jump in, but that's what makes sense to me.
You know, I think you said it I think you said it spot on. Also to the point is if a consumer didn't want to pay the fee, they could go and access the information themselves at $1.50 a page. They just would have to know the deeds to find. And so I, as a consumer, could choose not to do that. I could choose not to pay a title company, come to the county and say, I need these deed instrument numbers that are provided, and they would be $1.50 a page and still provide that with the application and meet the criteria of the commission without providing an additional burden to the consumer who's trying to do their split. So there's other methods that would do it. We just have an ease that for $150 can be done much quicker and has an insurance component to it.
Yep, and I would submit that most people aren't that informed users at that level of information. And so to charge somebody with getting that, the right parcel number, all that, yeah, this is easier.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we're prepared, as we showed you in the presentation last week, that we have the checklist updated. We have the applications updated. We can move on that. Of course, we need to adopt the new fee schedule, but we can be working towards both at the same time.
Okay. Let's do that. I'm all for that.
Because the hang up with the fee schedule was semantics with what this process was going to be and what that fee would be.
Right.
The rest of the fees we've sorted through, and we really didn't have a lot of problem with that, at least going forward.
Right.
We can turn that around in short order. Get it right.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Plan is next week.
That has to go through this statute process because it's more than a 5% and 2 week notice. Yada yada.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The chairman.
I just final draft. You say go forward and get her done.
Bless you, son. Go forward.
Yeah. How's that? But you know what a great
concept wise, it's clear as. It's clear to me, but it has to be vetted publicly, and our rationale needs to be dialogued on the open record.
Correct.
That's what we're doing here today. So we're good on that part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So definition of original parcel, you as a title company, do you have any nuances that you would like to talk about? Jay, you're grinning this.
Of course, we asked, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we did ask Bill for some input.
Yes.
And he provided us some, and it was, you know, and his look at that was our original parcel definition includes and refers to platted lots and parcel land and.
Right.
Pretty ambiguous.
Right.
We've also talked to some other consultants or other resources, and they provided more information and more in-depth change that to the original parcel definition that we'll bring both to you, and we'll talk. I plan to talk to you about that next Tuesday. So
okay. So,
and explain.
Okay. So for the public record, I am not focused, nor do I care to contemplate a change of date. Just straight out, not changing that. Changing the clarity of the definition or the wording of original parcel. That's what I'm focused on. So y'all out there all excited about change of date? Sorry, not contemplating that at all. Just the wording, the definition of original parcel.
Yeah, and Chairman, to that point in support, there would be a lot of minutia and confusion that would consume a lot of tax dollars on our staff's side to do that. So that I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, that's exactly right. That's been looked at before and before my time.
Yeah.
Before the previous director's time. And that does not get us anywhere.
No, it doesn't get you.
We need to change the semantics of the language of the definition itself.
Right.
To clear up that ambiguity.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
That's what we'll be bringing back.
All right.
Appreciate that. And, you know, what a great thing to have a title company and go to the source. So, Mr. Tibbetts, Mr. Archer, thank you for being here and providing that. It's like the moment that was easy for, and it's not easy.
We appreciate that.
Easy, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for having us. And it's been an honor to work with them. And you know, the former director was somebody that I knew for a long time, and it was nice to be able to reach out and help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We're just trying to make it a level playing field as best as possible. When I became commissioner and saw what our staff was required to do, it appalled me, and it still appalls me to a wee bit that. We end up being a quasi-legal counsel to a person coming in asking questions that would more clear be served by having legal counsel. And that part I don't know how to fix and still have customer service. And so I don't see a clear path how to pull the county out of exposure there and still provide provide customer service to people coming, because it's okay to ask, it's okay to come in, but the question is, just like we're saying, there's this full gamut of a question or the complexity that could be involved in just the simple question of, can I do this with my property? It seems pretty simple and nuanced, and on some pieces of property it's like, yeah, pretty straightforward, yeah, and on another parcel you keep finding another and another and another issue, and God forbid that they did multiple splits and never recorded it or never had it as a legal land division. And so can I do this with my property? Seems simple, but it isn't on some pieces, and to be able to walk that through with that individual who, they likely did not do that. Some of them have done it, but most likely they've come along later and acquired the property, and now they have a question, and it's, oh boy, there's a few skeletons in the closet that it's going to have to be dealt with. So complicated issues that we're trying to build a path forward that is as fair and as transparent as we can get it.
Chairman, I would say that Carl's idea to clean up the, or Jay, whoever it was, I don't know, but the legal description to pull out that ambiguity, to get professionals involved that are outside so you don't have interpretations based on a director or you have somebody outside looking at that and setting a standard that's more than just what one person might want. And so I think where we clean up the ordinances so there's not ambiguity and interpretation in different sections of the ordinance, that's a big lift, but I think we're on the right path. So there, that is real and true what you've said, but I do think there's a path forward with, you know, that staying focused on the end goal being that generations after what we do, that the planning process is straightforward and consistent with good land use planning practice.
Chairman, if I may, Commissioner, I'd like to explain how we got brought into this mix. I know that you somewhat made that decision, but I think it's important that the public record understand what occurred. Former Director Mitchell reached out to me and said, could you provide me a commitment or a title policy that would meet the standard of an original parcel or a parcel? And that was where I reached out and said specifically, no, to your point, Chairman, we don't have the ability to interpret legal statute and determine whether or not property meets or does not meet that statute. All we can do is provide information. And so that's what we could do. And I hope that no person would be told otherwise, that we should be interpreting that data. We can provide the data to them, to you as commissioners and as planning and zoning, and then you can make your interpretation on your statute of law. But as an entity, we should not be issuing any statute to that, because that's the question we get all the time too.
Right.
Can I split my land? That's an excellent question. Here's what you own. That's it. That's all we can tell people. So I hope that came across very clear as to what it is we can provide, which is the research data, and then the rest of it falls to the commission and to the Planning and Zoning Division.
You can provide it so much quicker and so much more concise. And likely if we were tracking every hour and dot and tittle, you can probably do it far more efficient than we can.
We would like to think so. Yes, sir.
It's what you built your business on. So I would say most likely. Would almost always be able to do it far less expensive than what it will be for our side. So that's why we started all of this conversation. So excellent.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I hope this was helpful,
great,
valuable, and will help us get to where we need to be in the short order.
Right.
Move forward.
Right. And I think we've been fair to the title company that we didn't put them in a box. I mean, you have a starting amount that we alluded to, but if there's complexity on a piece of property, the price is going to go up. You know, if you're a frequent flyer on your property of dividing and divisions and yada yada yada, it's just going to take a little bit more research and a little bit more. And so I don't want to leave the public with well, why did mine cost more? Because it was more complex. That's why it cost more. And so I still think it's a cheaper deal for everybody to go this direction. So I haven't heard anything today that would make me think otherwise. So
thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes. Thank you for being here.
All right. So anything else for today? This was really important that this discussion be succinct about this. And is there anything else we need to backfill or we haven't covered?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's all we need for today.
Yeah.
This was the only topic that I wanted to talk about today.
Right.
And then next week we'll start the real work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, Carl. Yeah. We'll get ready and have the fee schedule and all of that going. So it's mostly ready, and so we can look at perhaps a draft. And
should be brief in that regard. We'll talk about original parcel definition updates as part of next week's meeting as well.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Should we have legal here for next week? Would they be addressed?
Hopefully we'll have. I don't remember where we are exactly with that. I haven't. probably should, I'll talk to him upfront.
Okay, talk to him up, give him a heads up.
Make sure I got an deduction in a row.
Careful with that, it's open season.
Cats.
All right, anything else? Yes, chief?
Judge, I have one question. Do we have all the information in front of us to create a fee schedule and move that thing forward? That's my only question.
So the quick answer for this mayor is you get your darn fee schedule and you get it in, and if you're always having to address something that you forgot or something changed, so I'm not waiting for it to be perfect. I think we got a good draft that's viable, and we can go over that next week, but that's my opinion. There never is a perfect fee schedule. If you're going to wait for it to be perfect and everything complete, you'll never get it updated.
And these are all dynamic documents, whether it's the employee handbook or fee schedules or...
Sure, bring up the employee handbook.
Oh, sure, bring that up. But we've seen that with the sheriff and their continual evaluation of what their fees look like.
Yeah.
It's a changing climate.
So that's my encouragement to DSD is to, you know, the lion's share of it's there, so.
Mr. Chairman, I got it back after... I got it the end of last week. I got it back from legal, so it's legal. It's ready.
Okay.
For the last polishing and
okay.
Forward to public,
so we can have a public hearing on it from there. Okay. All right. Let the public give input, and we can go from there. All right.
That sounds good.
Anything else? Last call. All right.
Thank you again.
Can we consider ourselves adjourned to the next meeting?
I think we should.
All right. Thank you. We'll be in adjournment. Thanks.